We got Darren Woodson, Cowboy, Ring of Honor member, five-time Pro Bowler. He's going into the Texas Sports Hall of Fame, hopefully one step closer to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's also an analyst for ESPN. How you doing, Woody?
I'm good, man. Life is good. I can't complain. I'm excited about tomorrow, but I'm doing really good, guys.
You know, this is your second state Hall of Fame. You're already in the Arizona Hall of Fame. You're from Arizona, went to Arizona State. Now you're going into Texas Sports Hall of Fame. Which is your home?
Well, born and raised in Arizona. My mom's still there, so of course, my mama there, I'm always going to be there. So it's always going to be a place in my heart. But, hey, I'm a Texas boy, and I've been here for 20-some years now. And love the city of Dallas. I love the fan base and the community. I'm so wrapped up in the community now with charity work and my kids going to school and all, man. It feels like it's home. And it's, I've really accepted it as home, too. So, I just love the Dallas-Fort Worth area altogether.
What does this Hall of Fame mean to you? You're going in with a number of great guys, including one of my buddies, a guy I went to school with, Eric Metcalf. What does this mean for you going to this Texas Sports Hall of Fame?
Well, it's a blessing, man. And it's, it's an honor to get recognized, for one. And two, just going with this class that I'm going in, Wade Phillips will be in the same class. Like you just said, Eric Metcalf. Just to name a couple. It's just, it's an honor to be recognized as such. I've seen a lot of great athletes go in, some of my own peers with, Troy Aikman and Michael Irvin and Larry Allen a couple of years ago. I've seen some of those guys go in, and I've had conversations with them. They all say it's a great time, and I just can't wait, man. I can't wait to get down there and tell all my lies when I'm up there, of course.
Nice.
So, my family flew in. Man, we're ready to have a good time. So we're going to enjoy Waco.
Should be a good time for you down there, man. And got to ask you about the other Hall of Fame, the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And I'm a little biased because I grew up watching you in the 90s. And to me, you're just a Hall of Famer. It's strange to me that you're not in officially. What are your personal feelings on that and the weight and each year looking at it and seeing as you continue to get closer to this process? How do you deal with that annually through the voting process of that?
I'd be lying to you if I told you that I didn't care. For the longest time, I would always tell everybody, well, I don't care. It'll be okay at some point. But I do. I mean, deep down in my heart, it's, as a competitor, you want to be you want to be up there with the guys that you played with and the guys that you know you could play with and play against and you play competitively with. I got a lot of teammates that are in the Hall of Fame as well. So I know where I stand as a football player. I think I feel like I'm a Hall of Famer. I feel at some point I should be put in the Hall of Fame. So it does. It burns at you. I mean, it's just a part of being that competitive. Having that competitive spirit in you, having that alpha dog in you. It's like, I played the game for a reason. I played the game because I felt like, I wanted to win for one. And also I just wanted to be the best player on the football field at all times. And that's what I worked hard for. Clarence was around me through most of my career. He knew how I worked on in the offseason. He knew what it meant to win football games for me. So, you do at some point, at this time of the year when guys get voted in and all, man, you always feel like, hey, I get it. I understand. I'm proud of those guys, but, I should be right up there with them.
Funny thing, it's a couple of things that work here. It's hard for safeties to get in because there's not a lot of safeties in the Hall of Fame,
Right.
And sometimes what will make you laugh and make you cry, your greatness is being held against you. I mean, I think that because, you were one of those unique safeties who probably could play in today's era with all these spread offenses because you didn't just sit back there and collect interceptions and collect big hits. You were down the close to the line of scrimmage, covering wide receivers, doing something that safeties, didn't do. And so maybe if you were sitting back there in a traditional defense and a cover two defense where you could just pick off passes or kill guys coming across the middle, you may have been recognized a little more from the outside, but people that played the game, people played with you, know the value you had in doing what you did because of your versatility.
Yeah, that's true. But I always blame. Every time I don't go in, every year I send a text to Mike Zimmer telling him, hey, look, I didn't get voted in because you had me playing all these different positions and running down on special teams and doing – that's partly true because when you think about it, the way the game has been played all those years is – you know, safeties that played in the middle of the field or safeties that played cover two or whatnot, they're the ones you get all the interceptions because they're seeing the quarterback tip balls or whatever. It's, you know, I'm not saying it's an easy job. I'm just saying that's where you get all the big hits and you get all the big interceptions. Well, I played the position, and the Cowboys had me playing a position where not only I played safety maybe on first down, but anytime they spread us out, I covered the slot receiver. And I love the fact that I had that versatility. I think it's held against me because I didn't have a lot of interceptions because I wasn't playing a middle of the field safety. But at the same time, listen, I got three Super Bowl rings, man, and no one can take that away from me.
And that's part of it. I'm sorry for cutting you off, but that's part of it. And, you know, being the team of the decade, those three Super Bowl rings was all about what you guys did on defense as well as what those guys did on offense. Certainly, the triplets were important to what y'all did. The offensive line was important to what y'all did. But that defense also won those Super Bowls for you. And Charles Haley getting there is important. But you also getting there and finally getting recognized is important to show that those were balanced teams. Those are not just one-sided teams. And maybe one safety in the Hall of Fame that had to cover Jerry Rice. You did. They didn't.
No. Yeah.
Awesome.
Trust me. You think I wanted to cover Jerry Rice? I was volunteering, that's for sure. I definitely wasn't. But you're right, man. I mean, today I'm sitting there talking about Leon Lett. I was at the Star today talking about Leon Lett and, you know, what he brought to the table for our football team back then. And I just started reminiscing and thinking about all the great players that we had and the big-time plays that they made on Super Bowl Sunday. We had 9 turnovers. We forced 9 turnovers in 92. And the only way we got back in that game against Buffalo in the second one is because we had Leon Lett caused it, a fumble, and James Washington picked it up and scooped it. So, I mean, that defense, you know, there were 2 phases of that game, of that team. And we had a lot of great offensive football plays. But at the same time, you know, we matched that with our ability to play top-notch defense and give our opportunities. We just don't get a lot of love for it.
Talking to Darren Woodson here on ESPN 103.3 FM, ESPN Game Night, going into the Texas Sports Hall of Fame tomorrow down in Waco. You bring up that 92 team, the 25th anniversary of that team, of course, here in 2017. I know you guys are getting together coming up, I believe, this weekend.
Saturday,
yeah, having a kind of reunion for that. When you guys in 92, did you realize how good you were? Did you know, and I don't necessarily just mean that year, but did you realize that window of opportunity, how great you guys would be over the course of a few years?
You know, I think that some of the veteran guys did. I think, you know, if you ask Ken Norton Jr., if you ask Michael Irvin, if you ask, you know, Troy Aikman, guys that have been on the team since 88, 89, and had gone through all those tough years, one in 15 years, you ask those guys, they'd say yes. They understood the window of opportunity they had. You ask me, I came in as a rookie in 1992 and won the Super Bowl. So I was spoiled. I was myself and Kevin Smith and, you know, Jimmy Smith, we were the young guys on the block. So we didn't we didn't understand how hard it was to get there. But then, you know, as time went on, I think it really I didn't have the wake-up call until 94 and we lost the NFC Championship game in San Francisco. That's when it was a wake-up call to me to think, okay, maybe it's not that easy. And even going into that game, guys, I felt like there's no way we lose this game. We've dominated. We beat San Fran 2 straight years. We own them. No matter what happens, we own this team. And we got in there and ended up losing that game. And that, for me, that was the wake-up call to say, hey, listen, we need to find a way to get back and then get back again. And the urgency started to pick up then. But that was my wake-up call.
No doubt. And just going back to the 92 team and that 92 game, you talk about all those turnovers. You know, there were other Super Bowl blowouts. That may have been the most impressive Super Bowl blowouts because of how explosive that Buffalo team was and what y'all did to dismantle them and totally destroy them. That game turned quickly. And you guys showed your dominance. You were a young team. You know, how special was that just to get together and think about now? Because most people, I know you said some of the veterans thought y'all were ready, but most people thought y'all were a year away, you know, and y'all went and seized that opportunity right then, and you left no doubt.
I didn't think the coaches gave us that opportunity to think. Seriously. I mean, thinking was not a part of the equation. It was Jimmy Johnson telling us what you're going to do. This is what you're going to do. Don't overthink this thing. Go out, practice hard, and play the games. And let's think about the coaching staff that we had. Dave Wannstedt on the defensive side of the ball. Norv Turner was the offensive coordinator. Dave Campbell, Butch Davis, guys who coached, you know, in the college ranks and the professional ranks after their time with the Cowboys. So it was, you know, we were loaded at the coaching position as far as the knowledge of the game. And our practices, I tell people this all the time. I just told my son this the other day. He was talking about the 92. He was asking me questions about the 92 team. I told him, listen, our practices were more competitive than the games.
Right.
The fights that we had at the week of practice were unbelievable. Our offensive line, which is the most dominant offensive line I think that ever played the game, would go up against a rotation of our defensive line that was incredible. The Russell Maryland, Jimmy Jones, Leon Les, the Tony Tolbert, the list went on and on about, you know, how competitive we were Wednesday through Friday. And again, the coaches had us working so hard that on Sundays, man, we used to call it a party. It's time to party. It's time to have a good time. Sundays were the good times. The week of practice were the hard ones.
There's no doubt. And you look at that team, that was before free agency. You know, if they would have never got free agency, you'd have kept that team together. Y'all might have put five together because Deion wouldn't have went to San Francisco. And so they wouldn't have won a 94. And you guys would have kept that team together if you just want to go back. You know, that would have been an amazing run. Talk about just seeing those guys. You talk about all those coaching staff. Everybody coming back and everybody talks about Jerry and Jimmy going to be there together. That's going to be something to see Saturday night with everybody coming back for this party that Troy Aikman kind of organized.
Yeah, I think, first of all, I got to give Troy thanks for putting this together. I mean, it's just, you know, him thinking about it and having the process of getting us all back together. I think that was special for him to do so. But, you know, talk about Jimmy coming in. That'll be fun to hear what Jimmy has said. I know Brad Sham will be pretty much controlling the mic and emceeing the deal, so God bless him. But, you know, he's going to have to deal with Jimmy, that personality, and Jerry at the same time. But, you know, for me, it's about the guys that I had the relationships with that were in that locker room, the Brock Marions and Kenny Gantz and, you know, the list goes, Dixon Edwards, guys that I saw on a daily basis, probably weren't the biggest name guys, but brought the personality to the locker room. You know, we always hear about the triplets on the offensive side of the ball, but, you know, we rarely talk about the Jay Novacek's and the Daryl Johnson's and, you know, the Tony Agee's. There's so many guys back in the day, the Tommy Agee's, there's so many guys back in the day that, you know, the fans don't know who just brought that spice to the locker room. And you know, even though we kept some of our core guys, with the team, the reason why we started to fall apart as a team is because we lost those good special teamers. We lost those core players who understood their role. That's the reason why the dynasty didn't go the way it was, because we had to start losing those guys in free agency.
Talking to Darren Woodson here on ESPN 103.3 FM, obviously former Cowboy legend, going into the Texas Sports Hall of Fame tomorrow. Now working as an ESPN NFL analyst, and I'm sure you guys have thrown this back and forth a ton in recent days. We were just talking about it. Tony Romo, in your opinion, where does he finally wind up for 2017 when the season rolls around?
I think it's up to Tony, which it sounds like it's going to be up to Tony at some point. Cowboys are more than likely going to release him. If it's up to Tony, I mean, listen, I think there's two teams that, if you really look at it, that are built to win right now. One is right down the way in Houston. I look at the Texans team, which, you know, defensively they're a top, you know, they're the number one defense in the league without J.J. Watt last year. They have an offensive line that's a little bit above average. They have weapons on the outside with, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, Will Fuller, Braxton's coming. Braxton Miller's a guy who's going to be, you know, hot. He's a young rookie. And then they have, you know, Lamar Miller as a running back. They're set. On that team, I think the one missing link is the quarterback position, and Brock Osweiler is not a guy that can lead them that way. I think Tony going to the Houston Texans is the missing link. So if I'm him, if you're Romo, you're not going to a rebuilding process. You're trying to get to the Super Bowl as fast as you possibly can. And I think, you know, the Houston Texans and then along with the Denver Broncos are those two teams that are primed and ready to make another Super Bowl run.
Yeah, those are the teams that I thought as well, and we just got through talking about it. I know Peter King threw out Kansas City this week, but I just can't see them moving away from Alex Smith. But, yeah, Denver and Houston are built to win. And what you've seen from Tony and the people you've talked to, does he still want to play? And you worry about his health like everybody else, or do you think that if he's ready to play, he's ready to go?
listen, man, if he's ready to play and he's competitive, and listen, I've known Tony for years now, 14 years, 13 years, however long he's been there. And he's as competitive as he was when he first walked in the door with the Dallas Cowboys. And you know, knowing his story and knowing that he has that chip on his shoulder because he was always overlooked as a young rookie. And to come from where he's been, he's had the odds against him. And he's always fought back. So, you know, he's a complete competitor, man. I know he wants to play on Sunday. I know he wants to run his own team and be the quarterback of his own team that goes to the Super Bowl. But, you know, we're all the same as athletes, as pro athletes. You never think about the injury side. I don't care how many injuries. I've had 12 surgeries. There was not at one point that I think that, well, I wasn't going to be able to bounce back and get back on the field. I think Romo's the same way. He's gone through a lot. He understands that. But he still feels like he has a lot more in the tank. And anybody you talk to over there, they'll tell you in a heartbeat. I know Barry Church was talking about it on the news the other day. But everyone you talk to over there, he's as sharp as ever when he's on the football field. So, you know, hey, look, man, I will never count the guy out because I know his competitive spirit. I know he'll have another chance. And I know he will be playing next year somewhere else.